Hey, football fans, this is Diana Rossini from The Athletic. Get the top stories in pro football snapped directly to your inbox with our latest NFL newsletter, Scoop City. Jacob Robinson and I will bring you the daily scoop of top NFL articles, posts, and podcasts every Monday to Friday. Sign up for free now at theathletic.com/scoop.
Your mother, it's time for another episode of Birds with Friends. Just the trio of feathery brethren weathering any season to see the Eagles eat teams like Scrammy's top with cheese. It's Philadelphia, Bo, Sheila, and Zach kicking it cooler than breathing when Joe Zach runs off with his valet keys. He's a real nuanced goose. Pull up a branch, get loose. It's time for some juice on some
Birds with Friends.
The early bird gets the worm, but prefers getting turned like a turn on some
Birds with Friends.
Bo, Sheila, and Zach coming at you with set. And things flapping their wings.
Statistics,
on.
Yeah, they can feel like bathing suits. What they, you know, what.
Finish it up. Sometimes you gotta take them off.
What the hell?
What they show is revealing, but what they conceal is vital, right? So.
This episode is presented by BetMGM, the exclusive betting partner of The Athletic. Sign up at betmgm.com using the promo code TheAthleticPod. Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to the post-game edition of Birds with Friends, Bo Wolf, Zach Berman, and all of our family here to talk about the Eagles' 33-18 victory led by Gardner Minshew over the New York Jets. Zach, I will start with the first important question to you, and that is there a quarterback controversy here in Philadelphia?
Am I answering it in a Louisiana accent or in a Philadelphia accent?
Answer in whatever you think is the most authentic voice for you to have.
So I believe in authenticity, so I will answer it in a Philadelphia accent. I don't believe there is a quarterback controversy in that I take Nick Sirianni at his word that Jalen Hurts is the quarterback. I think both publicly and behind the scenes, Nick has stood by that. That said, I think that there's a lot that Jalen Hurts can learn from the way Gardner Minshew played today. And I don't want to say it's a short leash on Jalen Hurts, but if Jalen Hurts plays the way he did last week in the stadium when they returned from the bye against Washington, it's not out of line to say, should you have Minshew in there?
Well, let's take a look at the line. And Gardner Minshew went 20 of 25 for 242 yards, 9.7 yards per attempt. That is the best yards per attempt of any quarterback for an Eagle in a game this season. He had two touchdowns, 133.7 quarterback rating. His EPA per dropback was 0.62. That is also the best that we have seen from an Eagle in a game this season. He had an ADOT of 6.1. That is the second shortest we have seen from an Eagle in a game this season after Jalen Hurts in that week one game. However, and it is a big however, and that is this Jets team is just atrocious.
That is correct.
And so balancing what we saw from Gardner Minshew versus what we may have seen from a healthy Jalen Hurts in this game is, I would say, precariously difficult.
I'm going to try to keep a straight face during this. You're doing a good job, and I think you have a better accent, frankly, than Brian Kelly does. You have to take the opponent into account. That said, you don't know how Jalen Hurts would have fared today. And the evidence we have to go off of is the way Jalen Hurts fared last week against the Giants. A better defense than the Jets, sure, but certainly not the 85 Bears. And I thought, in particular, what stood out to me was you heard Jalen Hurts say this week, what he learned from the Giants game. It's that expression that Shield doesn't like to say, or I shouldn't say doesn't like to say, that Shield says is a cliche.
He's got a lot that he does not lie.
Which is, you can't go broke making a profit, right? I thought Minshew was willing.
It looks like my Wi-Fi is dropping out again. We may have to switch to yours. If something ugly happens, I
think Minshew was willing to take what was there. You saw the screen game was effective. You saw the check downs were effective. Do we have to switch the mic to mine? Or?
I reckon we might could okay. do. Okay. maybe we'll hope that this follows through for a little bit longer. Otherwise, we may have to switch. Why don't you sign on StreamYard?
Let's
Marissa, you tell me what we should do.
Let's get Zach connected before we disconnect.
She says, "Let's get we'll Zach connected over. Before okay. we disconnect." Then we'll be able to switch over perfect. After that.
Perfect.
Okay. So, Marissa, how are you?
I'm over here cracking up. Your accent is incredible. Love the commitment to the bit. It's great.
Marissa, while Zach sets this up, why don't you tell us who you think should be the next head basketball coach at the University of Maryland?
Honestly, I don't know. I'm interested in hearing Zach's opinion on that. You know, he's got know all the coaching think. News.
I trust Marissa's judgment.
He I don't know. I was,
judge. But my first call would be Nate Oates.
Mm.
Okay. I was very, Zach, were you very surprised that this happened when this
Your
happened?
Mic. What did you say, Marissa?
I said, I can't take this seriously. I was very surprised this happened in this fashion. I mean,
Marissa said she is a mighty surprised it happened in a fashion as it did.
Is my surprise about what?
That it happened as it did.
Me too. I think Maryland fans, I don't want to say they have an unrealistic expectation, and it's because it is, in my eyes, one of the great basketball programs in the or should be one of the big, great basketball programs in the country. But I think Turgeon's a good coach, although the fit never really seemed to make sense, and they should never have left the Big Ten. They should never have left the ACC.
For well, that I do agree with. You know, I was hoping it's interesting because here in MetLife Stadium, where we have been for the past two Sundays, you would think it would be the same Wi-Fi, but it's actually, this is Jets free Wi-Fi. And I had been wondering and pondering if that meant that it was the same Wi-Fi, but with a rename every week, or if it's an actual different Wi-Fi that they turn
on and
on and off.
And I do not have that answer.
Yes. We're Zach, good to go.
Okay, I'm going to need Bo to get a little closer to the mic.
So let me, if I can move on to opinion a little bit now.
Okay.
My take here is Gardner Minshew did what he needed to do in this game. I was not necessarily blown away by the Gardner Minshew performance. I thought that this offensive result, impressive as it was, I do not believe they punted until they did at the very end of the game. I did not believe that this was much more than a New York Jets team that is among the very worst in the league. The offensive line was very good. We saw, you know, you saw the running game was not quite as impressive as it would have been with Jalen Hurts, obviously, because there was not the threat of Jalen Hurts to run, but the passing game was different. But, you know, it's not like Gardner Minshew throwing a bunch of screens is the answer for this team moving forward. And if we think that the goal is to find a quarterback, even if you don't believe that it's going to be Jalen Hurts long term, we already know that Gardner Minshew is not a franchise quarterback. The man has
been, I agree.
He lost out on a job to Jake Luton. So let's not pretend that he is the long-term answer. I think, as you said, maybe this is an opportunity for Jalen Hurts to watch from the sideline and learn some things. But I do not believe that this is a true quarterback controversy.
Well, I think Jalen Hurts is a better quarterback than Gardner Minshew. And I would rather have Jalen Hurts as the quarterback. That said, my biggest criticism of Jalen, I've said this since training camp, is the ball hits the ground too much. We saw that last week against the Giants. And he was what, 43% last week as a passer, 44?
That is not good.
And Minshew was 80% today, 20 of 25. He completed his first 12 passes, I think, or first before he just had to throw it away. I think that is something that the Eagles needed, that their ability to sustain drives jumped out to me. They didn't punt the ball, like you said, until under 2 minutes to go. They scored points on their first seven drives. There were things they needed to do better. They settled for too many field goals. They didn't have that many explosive plays in the passing game. I didn't think the running game was as bad as you said. Miles Sanders was, what, over 5 yards per carry? Kenny Gainwell, 4.5 yards per carry? You didn't have the quarterback rushing.
Well, if I can be pedantic, Miles Sanders was 24 carries for 120 yards. That is precisely 5 yards per carry, not over 5 yards.
Okay, yes. Thank you. Well, he's at 5 yards a carry. You didn't have the quarterback running, so you weren't over 200 rushing yards. But I think you would take what were they, 185
rushing yards. It's nothing to sneeze at.
Yes. Sorry. You can see all my text messages.
It's all right. I'm sure she's talking about my ridiculous accent.
No, she's not. She's not.
I don't remember what I was about to say.
We were talking about the running game. So I actually, when you said the running game wasn't as good, I didn't think the running game was problematic today. I don't think Minshew set the world on fire.
Oh, I wouldn't say problematic.
But I thought that that we have said throughout the season, well, before they went on this run, so middle of the season, when we were talking about the possibility of a quarterback change, that you'd be curious to see what this offense looked like with a different quarterback. And I think we saw that. And frankly, I liked what I saw. Now, you have to take the Jets into account. But overall, I liked what I saw.
I think more than anything else about Gardner Minshew, this was a peek at Nick Sirianni and maybe the type of offense he would run if he did not have a Jalen Hurts at quarterback. And to that point, again, taking into account the level of opponent, I thought it was a mighty fine offensive performance.
And I think what I really liked about Minshew's performance too, besides the efficiency, was the pocket movement.
Now, so that's interesting. Go, because I'm not so sure that I
agree. I thought he has good pocket presence. He can sense where the pressure's coming. He can slide in the pocket. He had the touchdown pass to Goddard. He moved the pocket, right? Play action, pressure was coming, moved the pocket, threw a catchable pass to Goddard. Again, I don't want to overstate this. I don't want to make it seem like Minshew's the answer or Minshew's spectacular or Minshew's better than Hurts. But I think there are things that Minshew does that are better than Hurts that Hurts needs to improve upon that would really help this offense, in particular the offensive efficiency.
See, the pocket movement, I suppose there were times when he stepped up in the pocket that maybe Jalen Hurts might not have done. But there were also times in this game I thought Gardner Minshew fled the pocket when he did not need to. And it was the type of play that if it was Jalen Hurts on those plays, he would have been castigated and drawn down by certain segments of the fan base for leaving the pocket in those plays. I've seen some people saying that Gardner Minshew was more accurate than Jalen Hurts in this game. And I do not agree with that either necessarily. Mm-hmm. There were several plays when he threw the ball behind receivers. They just happened to be so wide open that it was still a completion.
What I thought, go back and watch the tape on that one.
What I thought was the difference, if there was one, was in just the quickness of the decision making and moving from one read to another. And you might think that Jalen Hurts is maybe one read, two read, and go, whereas Gardner Minshew is more one read, two read. Okay, where's my running back? And
that's a good way of putting it.
I think that Jalen Hurts maybe it's hard to say that he doesn't already know that he can read quicker. He knows that that's a thing that he should do. However, seeing it in practice, maybe that is something that infuses itself into his game moving forward.
So I'll say I'm having a bit of a hard time here, okay? Because
as am I.
I'm trying to have a serious like Eagles conversation with while keeping a straight face. I also
I'm just a humble servant of the organization.
I'm assuming, by the way,
I haven't even won all my games yet.
I'm assuming our listeners understand what you are doing here, correct?
I don't know. Are they familiar with my family?
So I don't feel I need to explain it, but for in the rare case, or I shouldn't even say the rare case, with the possibility that someone's tuning in either via video or on their ride to work on Monday morning, and they're wondering why Bo is talking that way, we should at least fill them in, which is...
This is my normal accent. This is the way that I talk and have talked forever.
Bo is pretending that he's Brian Kelly. And Bo actually shares some similarities with Brian Kelly. But
now that is the meanest thing I've ever heard you say about me.
Well, what is the left guard's name for the – I'm sorry, the right guard's name for the New York Jets?
Well, his name is a mighty fine player, a mighty fine human being, and a player who I have been familiar with dating back to his time at the East-West Shrine Game in St. Petersburg, Florida. I'd say about 2012 or so. And he's a player who went there without much fanfare at all
And back on the show, Eagles Beakley, that I used to be on, mm-hmm. we talked about this player from Canada coming down and impressing everybody. And he goes by the name of Laurent Duvernay-Tardif.
Which you nail the accent much better than Brian Kelly nails the accent. But basically what you're trying to do is assimilate into a culture. When you say that, right? You're trying to sound like...
I disagree. I'm trying to pronounce his name as it is correctly pronounced where he's from.
You're trying to sound like, you just had a hot dog and fries at LaFleur's.
Sounds delicious.
That is delicious. That is delicious. I can go on with the other Montreal landmarks that I like. But anyways, big Eagles win, we should discuss.
Yes. Well, and to that point, we are recording
You're keeping
this.
It going?
You know, it's almost past the point of no return, okay. I might reckon. What do you think? I feel like I've come this far. I'm not so sure I can go back. I'm not so sure I'll ever have my regular voice again. I don't know if I'll remember how to talk. So, that was a weird one. To the point, right now, Washington and Las Vegas playing out in the City of Sin, 7-6 for the football team lead. But if they lose that game, if the Las Vegas Raiders come through with a victory, the Eagles will be in the playoffs as they enter the bye. A time for them to get healthy. Mm-hmm. We should say, just news-wise, moving up front, Nick Sirianni said Jalen Hurts is his quarterback moving forward. And he said his expectation is that Jalen Hurts will be ready to play in 2 weeks, so he would not make any kind of promise.
Yes. Look, I'd be surprised if Jalen Hurts is not ready to play in 2 weeks. He was questionable going into
this game. What do you make about the whole – the way that everything happened this
week? Great. Look,
beyond just what happened in the game, you know, Jalen Hurts says on Wednesday, I'm playing. Let's get this over with. And then the news comes out. Credit to Derek Gunn for reporting it before everybody else. And then everybody, all these national reporters say, well, it's not official. They're going to give him a chance. And then they say it's official. How about we just take Derek Gunn at his word? He's the one who reported it.
Absolutely. Credit to D. Gunn. And apologies, frankly, to our readers and our listeners. I wrote a story Wednesday night basically saying Hurts is going to go. He said it. I took the man at his word.
You took him at his word. You can't be faulted for that.
Thursday's podcast, we talked about it. Like, Hurts is going.
Possibility that just sandbagged us on Super Sorecast.
Right? So
you got 2 points just for Jalen Hurts not playing.
So, no, I apologize to our audience because, you know, I take pride in the truth. And I misdirected you there.
Well, the truth shall set you free, Zach.
But I will say that it is, you know, look, I don't think Hurts was trying to mislead anybody. I don't think it was gamesmanship on Hurts's part. I think Hurts thought he was going to play. And clearly later in the week, either he didn't progress the way they wanted to, or they didn't think he could play the way he thought. I walked out of Friday's press conference and I was with you, and I thought Friday's press conference was very curious because Sirianni, like, he kept saying that it's unknown. And I didn't think he was doing it for show. I thought Sirianni genuinely, like, there were certain I did not think then that Jalen got the green light. So the fact that it went into the weekend with him being questionable, I found that to be interesting. And I can't imagine he's not healthy enough to play in 2 weeks.
It would be hard to believe that would be the case, considering, you know, he was a game time decision.
And he was on his feet the whole game, by the way.
He was. Yeah, he was on the sideline. I noticed late in the game, Nate Herbig comes in for Jason Kelce, and as he is wont to do, sails a snap all the way down to Mobile. And I do declare that on the sideline, Jalen Hurts was talking to Nate Herbig, making him feel better, saying, we need you, big fella. We can't lose you.
Is that what he said?
We got to keep you in the game.
So Jason Kelce's injury is important to monitor because he was in pain. He was down. He was in pain last week, and he came back in. I saw the Inquirer's Jeff McClain say that he was spotted after the game in a walking boot. I did not see Jason walking after the game. So that's interesting. The bye is coming at a good time, obviously, for Kelce. Miles Sanders, who had a career high in rushes today, and near career high in yards, 24 carries, 120 yards. Injured his ankle again, couldn't finish the game. Bye is coming at a good time for him. Elsewhere on the injuries, Steven Nelson and Patrick Johnson both left the game with injuries. I was actually listening to the broadcast when that became official, and the sideline reporter was like, a big loss for the Eagles defense. Patrick Johnson is, and but it was also Steven Nelson in there. But I think Patrick Johnson, I was thinking, yeah, I guess that means more Jannard Avery, right? Mm. But overall,
nobody needs more Jannard Avery.
But overall, yeah, it's a cliche to say bye is coming at a good time. There's never like a bad time to have a bye, I suppose, except 2016. They started the season like 3-0 or 3-1 maybe, and they had a bye then. It was too early, but this is the latest a bye has ever been. I can't imagine that we'll ever have a bye this late again. I got to think this is a scheduling quirk the NFL might look into, but it's coming. They'll be healthier when they return. Then they have four NFC East games, and I believe if Washington loses, and you said this right, the Eagles would be the seventh seed at the end of the day.
That's correct.
So, they're right in the thick of the wild card race.
That is absolutely correct. And, of course, on the other side of the bye, they will be playing Taylor Heineke and that Washington football team. I see a lot of guff in the comments. Some people in favor of the accent, some people very, very upset. And to that I say, I do not care. If you do not like it, you may go to hell. There are other things for you to watch. However, I will declare that I feel like after the ad break, I may return to my normal voice.
I was actually complimenting you. Oh, I compliment you often, but I was complimenting you to my wife recently where I said I really respect your, like, your confidence when it comes to either commenters or like, you're the type of person who if someone doesn't like something you say on here or doesn't like something you write, you're like, that's your problem, right? like F you, whereas I tend to internalize it. And
there are like 20 beat writers covering the Eagles. If you want to find it somewhere else, by all means, you won't get as good coverage as you would at The Athletic, but good riddance and bless your soul. All right, Zach. We've got a lot to talk to. The defense, I thought, was an abomination in the first half. We can get to that on the other side of the ad break. We can talk a little bit more about the running game. I thought it was an impressive performance by Miles Sanders, considering everything that he was playing through and all of that good stuff. But before we do that, is there anything else about the quarterback? And we will talk more about the quarterbacks. But, you said it might be reasonable to think that if Jalen Hurts comes out and plays in week 15 as he did against the Giants, do you think that this is the kind of thing that that could subsume this team? Is there a possibility you could see Jalen Hurts getting benched at any point?
I think it would take a lot for that to happen. I don't think it would subsume the coach or the team. I think it would the city, right? Like, I think if...
Well, it is perfectly timed because you've got the bye. We've got now 2 weeks of rabble-rousing all over the place.
I think... I hear people say that the media tries to make things a quarterback controversy. I'm not trying to make anything a quarterback controversy. I'm just telling you from covering this team for 10 years, for growing up in this city, when the backup quarterback comes in the week after the starting quarterback had the worst game of his career, okay, that's a short career, but the worst game of the season, and the backup quarterback does things differently, in some cases better, then I don't think it's unreasonable if a fan says, I like the way this offense looks with Gardner Minshew. I would prefer Jalen Hurts out there. I think Sirianni would prefer Jalen Hurts out there. But how many 47% passing games can you see in these last four games? And that's what I'm real curious to see. So I don't think in Nick Sirianni's mind there's vacillation here. I don't think it's the type of thing where he's going back and forth on it, but I do think that another bad passing performance, you need to say, like, they need to be better at passing the ball, and however that comes, it's something they must look at.
All right, well, That will send us indeed to our first commercial break. Let's hear from some of our very valued sponsors. And for all of you listening, thank you once again for making me the head football coach at Louisiana State.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Well, this isn't good. We lost them. This is the joys of live streaming. I'm left alone. You guys are killing me.
We're back on mine. Zach's,
oh, God. I'm like beat red over here.
That's all right. We'll see if my Wi-Fi holds up.
I was about to start talking through the end of this Raiders Washington football team game.
I'm sure whatever you were doing was much better than what we were doing for that.
I was just scrambling.
Okay. Well, I guess we are back on.
Okay. Thank God. And Bo is back.
Wow. Yeah. So this is not going to hold up for very long. This is going to be
until
my Wi-Fi drops out.
I think you have too many tabs open.
We lost Brian Kelly in the process. I've always got too many tabs open. We got Bo back.
Would you consider closing tabs?
Would I consider? This is not that many tabs. I mean, I've got a lot of tabs open.
I'd say
Antonio Gibson touchdown. So Washington football team looks like they. There's 13 minutes left. So
Washington takes a 14-6 lead. Yeah. On Las Vegas, so they will be if they win that game, they'll still have the wild card spot over the Eagles. Okay, let's talk a little bit about the defense, Zach, because I mean it was pathetic in the first half. The Jets scored touchdowns in their first three drives. Now the first drive was a short one after Braxton Berrios returns the ball all the way to the 21, which seemed like a very dramatic result for Super Sorecasting, but Sheila ended up getting those anyway.
You were actually. For someone who didn't know what was going on, they'd be like, this guy really has a vested interest in the spot of this ball.
Yeah, because it was originally spotted at the 19, yes. And then it was moved back to the 21. It was like, it was perfect drama. But, you know, this Jets offense under Zach Wilson has been putrid. And for them to let up touchdowns on three straight drives, including two that were like long drives, was really embarrassing, I thought.
Sure. I agree with you there. I thought that defense really struggled early on. I didn't think they got enough pressure. I certainly didn't think the coverage held up. There were blown coverages because, you know, you had the fourth and goal at the one where Ryan Griffin was wide open.
And then the touchdown that followed was guy who was wide open.
Yeah. So I thought that, but then I do think the defense stabilized thereafter. They did not allow any points after the second quarter. Marcus Epps had that interception, which essentially sealed the game. But, no, I thought the first half was bad. And I thought, in particular, when this defense gets pressure, it changes everything. And they were not getting pressure on Zach Wilson.
Yeah, I mean, they should have gotten more pressure. That Jets offensive line stinks.
Absolutely. I agree. Except for the right guard, the left guard.
Yeah, but he left the game, unfortunately. Let me pull up some of the stats here.
I can pull it up on my computer if you want, and that will alleviate some of the.
Okay, fair enough. You got them or what?
I got them right here.
Okay, yeah, pull them up.
Oh yeah, right here. What's that?
I mean, it's hard for me to do it on your computer.
Okay.
So Zach Wilson, 23 of 38. For 226 yards, 5.9 yards per attempt. Not very good. Mm-hmm. And he had that interception. That was an ugly one. Nice play by Marcus Epps that was thrown right to him. But, you know,
if
early
in
this
game.
If you
want to know more about Marcus Epps' personality, what can we do?
Well, you might want to just check my Twitter feed because there's a great feature on there that dives deep into Marcus Epps. And then while you're there, read about Vinnie Curry's shoe collection.
Please do. Vinnie Curry on the on the Jets roster, basically.
I think so. Yeah. I think they carry him on IR.
Yeah, I agree.
Early in this game, that it was like the Eagles were daring the Jets to pass the ball. They were staying in base even when the Jets had three receivers on the field. Like mm-hmm. there was that third down where Jannard Avery is covering Jamison Crowder one on one, and you know knowing how dangerous Jamison Crowder is, what a mismatch that is.
But the interesting
and it didn't work because they were. even when they were passing the ball to success and they were running the ball, even in the, against those heavier boxes. So it was really ugly for those first three drives.
It's funny because when if I was Jonathan Gannon going against the Jets, I wouldn't be worried about them running on me.
Yeah.
Right? Like I would say, all right, if you want to run on me, like I think their talent, they have more talent at wide receiver than at running back. Their offensive line's not particularly good. I would be like, all right, if you want to try to run with, I'd like Tevin Coleman a few years ago, not necessarily as much now. Their best running backs hurt, Michael Carter. So I would think that that I would make sure Elijah Moore and Jameson Crowder and Corey Davis aren't beating me.
What's your Zach Wilson take?
Not a fan of. I mean,
oh
yeah, wow. Not impressed with him.
As a human,
I don't know him as a human.
Okay.
Can we potentially block the TV or turn the screen? Someone said you.
Okay. Yeah, we could probably turn it
yes,
off.
Yes. Let me sit here.
Well. My Zach Wilson take is like, why is he throwing the ball so hard? Like on these little short passes, he's just firing these balls. No touch. No, he's all gas, no break.
You might just have to angle this.
Okay, well that's fine. Give me a sec here. You give me your Zach Wilson take. I'll see what I can do here.
Okay. My Zach Wilson take. Sorry, this is. I apologize for the way this is going here. I don't think Zach, I thought Zach Wilson could have done more to take advantage of the Eagles defense. Didn't do it. I don't think that he brings, he has a good arm. We know that. I'm bringing people's suggestion. But I think in terms of accuracy, in terms of timing, he wasn't doing enough there. Jason's saying probably center screen, Bo.
Nope. Maybe there's a remote somewhere.
So is the issue that when you're watching on YouTube,
we can't be showing another broadcast.
Come on. Oh, okay.
Here.
Look at that.
This is incredible. I'm not going to lie. I know I say this many times, but like where else can you get this content?
Like, yeah, I mean, this is as good as it gets.
It's really as good as it gets. Like
I should have just punched it.
This is amazing. So,
okay.
All right, yeah, Zach Wilson.
Yeah, I think Zach Wilson. Well, what's your take on Zach Wilson, Marissa?
I think you guys are the experts. I'll leave it to you.
What's the feeling within the Jets fan base?
I don't think that well. You know, I like.
Oh, you think great. Don't sell yourself short.
I think there's been a lot of concern over these draft picks over the last few years, and Zach Wilson was supposed to be like the guy. And I think there's some heat on Joe Douglas lately and the pick selection over the past few years with the Jets for sure.
She says Joe Douglas's feet are being held over the coals.
By whom?
By the Jets fans.
I mean, I think Bo exaggerated that a little bit. You can tell Zach that, but
she says I'm exaggerating.
But I do think there, you know, Zach.
You can't Wilson believe was, that would ever happen.
Zach Wilson was supposed to erase a lot of these question marks, and I don't think, in the eyes of Jets fans, he has so far.
I have a grouse. It's been a lot, you know. Somebody reminded me I haven't done the grouse in a while, and so I'm going to give my Oscar the grouse, garbage player in this game, to Wayne Krabet. And Wayne Krabet in the Jets Ring of Honor. And I find it hard to believe. You can tell me where Wayne Krabet ranks in all the categories. He probably is first because he's been with the team for a while. I don't believe he would have had the longevity that he had with the Jets or be as highly thought of as he is if he was not a little white guy.
So he had one 1,000-yard receiver.
1,000-yard season, and you get in the Ring of Honor? What are we doing here?
Well, the Eagles aren't giving 87 to anybody, right? So, I mean, I guess he's the Brent Celek of the
I think it's just like the Jets have been so bad in the past 30 years that they had to throw somebody in there. But, I mean, what are we doing here? Wayne Krabet, Ring of Honor?
So when I worked in New York, they made the AFC Championship game twice. I covered them in the AFC Championship game in against the Steelers. That was a good Jets team. That was a fun Jets team.
Yeah. I told you, like driving around the parking lot, I feel like the Jets have the lowest ratio of jerseys worn by their fans that are active players. Okay. Like I saw nothing but Pennington and Revis and Glenn Foley, and you know, saw Klecko, even a few Darnolds around. I think I saw a few Zach Wilsons. I saw one CJ Mosley, one Elijah Moore, and one Fularunzu Fatukasi. And that was
really
it. Yeah.
Okay. That's the diehard right there. Yeah, I mean, and not a
sad state of affairs. Eagles 12-0 all time against the New York Jets.
Correct. Correct. This is the third one I've covered.
Congratulations. Are you worried about the defense?
No.
No, because their schedule is so bad, or no, because you trust Jonathan Gannon?
No, because they are what I expect them to be. Look, I don't think they're the
Well, don't let them off the hook.
There's a documentary coming out about that.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
On ESPN. Just about that? About just that press conference?
Yeah, it's just that press conference.
It feels like a...
It's called Thanks, Coach. Yeah.
Is it a whole documentary, or is it like a short?
Well, it's like I don't know. I mean, you know better than me.
Is it about all press conferences or just that Dennis Green?
Just that Dennis Green one.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, I do love that. I'll watch it.
So, look, I think this defense, for the most part, is going to do just fine against mediocre quarterbacks, which is most the rest of their schedule. They played bad in the first half. They still kept the Jets to 18 points. Now, part of that was two missed extra points and a field goal, but they haven't allowed – they haven't allowed over 20 points since what? Since the Chargers game? I can pull up their schedule right here. Yeah.
What do you make of the CJ Mosley talk that the Eagles were disrespecting them, that they didn't shake hands after the coin toss, and that Fletcher Cox was laughing at Robert Saleh for trying to challenge a play?
So the Saints game, by the way, they allowed 29 points.
Yeah, so okay. Great job.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, I would like to ask Fletcher about it, honestly, to find out what. But from what I understand, Mosley was heated. Like, he kept coming back to that. So,
I mean,
I'm looking forward to reading the coverage from our outstanding Jets writer, Connor Hughes.
I mean, if CJ Mosley didn't want to deal with that, he shouldn't have signed with the Jets. Is that unfair?
I think he thought he was part of a changing culture at the time.
Well, I mean, good luck. I mean, CTC, that bad boy for sure.
Absolutely.
Get that money.
But, absolutely.
Yeah.
Off-ball linebacker being paid, what, he got 80 million?
I feel like the not shaking hands after the coin toss must be some kind of misunderstanding. Like, you think the three captains are going to go out there and, like, purposely piss off the other team by not shaking hands?
Also, do they have, like bad blood
Jason
with the
Kelsey,
Jets?
Jason Kelsey, Rodney McLeod, and do they Fletcher have bad Cox blood are going to do that on purpose?
I don't know. It's a good question.
It feels
and then
little...
he said he was laughing at. I know Fletcher does stuff like that during the game, laughing at Robert Saleh complaining. But come on, I don't know the context of it. It's hard to say without me getting a chance to talk to Fletcher about it.
Okay, fair enough.
I'm sure Fletcher will go in depth on.
I'm sure he'll call in to Birds with Friends later and let us know. Yeah. All right. Why don't we hit our second commercial break and come back and figure out what else we have to talk about. All right, back on Birds with Friends. Swooper Sorecasting. As we talked about, Shiel had a kickoff return is stopped inside either team's 20-yard line. That first play of the game just barely missed, but he actually ended up getting it twice. Once when Jalen Reagor just let the ball bounce at the 1-yard line, thought it was going to go into the end zone. It didn't. Scrambled to pick it up. And then another time after that when Boston Scott replaced him, and he couldn't get it past the 20. So still just 1 point for Shiel there. He had Jalen Reagor has a touchdown or a catch run of 20 yards or more. Jalen Reagor finished with one catch for 7 yards and one technically rush for 0 yards. So that one didn't hit. Tough loss. A Jets player named Elijah is flagged for a penalty. Did not happen. And Keelan Cole was on the COVID list. So Shiel gets one. I had Devontae Smith has the most receiving yards in the game. That did not hit. Nick Sirianni did not, unfortunately, mention Elijah Riley in the postgame press conference. However, Jake Elliott did have more extra points than Jalen Reagor had receptions, so 1 point for me. And I don't believe we got to see the Quinnen and Quincy Williams brothers as young kids on the broadcast, which meant that, Zach, the 2 points you had before kickoff even happened, that Jalen Hurts would not turn the ball over and Gardner Minshew would take a snap. You hit the double. You pull within one of Shiel. with four games left.
Three at home.
Wow, this is getting tight. Four games left. A one-game lead for Sheila and a two-game lead for me. So I got to really get cranking if I'm gonna make an effort here.
What's it going to take for Sheila? Thank you. What's it going to take for Sheila to come to the stadium one day?
No, I like this. Let's get
the three of us.
Let's go, Sheila. Let's see. Well, I mean, if it's week 18 and winning in, I bet he would come.
Yeah.
Although, I mean, then he's got, like, look ahead to the first round of the playoffs as a senior national guy. I don't know. I feel like let's get this groundswell from the listeners to get Shield to the stadium for a game. I mean, come maybe climb down from his ivory tower for once and come join the people and actually watch a football game in person.
Oh, no, he's got a lot on his plate, so I don't.
I'm sure he does, but I mean, that doesn't mean that he's too good for real live football.
No,
you really analyze unless you can hear the crunching of the pads? You know?
I thought our best post-game pod in my time doing this was after the Seahawks playoff game, the three of us together in the we were in like where the executives sit. Remember that?
I don't really remember it very well.
Okay. All right. What was
you thought it was good because you also wrote an award-winning gamer.
I did not think it was good because of that, but I did write a story that game that. Yeah, but that no, I thought
got that hardware for that bad boy.
No, I thought the chemistry was good with the three of us in person.
Okay,
and we can add an element to it with
the
video.
Three of us haven't had an in person podcast, and probably since then.
Since then, well, no, the combine.
Combine, that's right.
Yeah, the famous 6'9", 6'9".
And yeah, that's all good stuff.
Yeah,
it's true. It is the best. That is the best recipe. Dallas Goedert, career high 105 receiving yards, 6 catches. That first touchdown drive was 3 catches by Dallas Goedert. Those were the only pass plays. Did you think that was a function of Gardner Minshew being the quarterback, or just happened to be what the game plan was today?
Yeah, it's just the game plan. They got him. They got the tight end screens going. He made a nice catch for the touchdown, the first one where he basically broke it. He pushed the guy off.
Big, strong, powerful man at times.
I didn't think they got Devontae involved enough, and maybe that has to do with the way Minshew plays, right? Maybe he
there
gets
was some weird stuff quick. With Devontae in this game. Like he didn't play quite as many snaps as he normally does.
They had Rager like as a receiver in 13,
which they've done for a while, for the past 2 or 3 weeks, and like Devontae was out on some of the 12 personnel plays. That one nice play I thought they had when he lined up in the backfield. That was an interesting new look, something I'd like to see them do just to, as a way to like get him more involved. Mm-hmm. But he was sort of like not limping, but like hobbling a little bit in this game. I wonder if there's like, it's interesting because you would think that everybody's calling for Jalen Reagor to get benched, but if there was some little pullback from the way that Devontae handled himself at the end of that Giants game, because you know, Kelsey was asked about Devontae like as a leader, in like a leading question type of way. And it was funny because he didn't take the bait at all and went the other way and saying that like acting like he did at the end of that game is something that he won't be doing for a long time because like he's just a young guy. I don't know.
And I mean, I think Nick Sirianni, the way he grew up, like I don't think he's a coach's son. You respect the coaches, right?
Yeah, but he's also a receiver. So like, you know, receivers want the ball.
True. I don't know if that was discipline or not.
I don't know. It was weird. But I mean, so Devontae only had.
I expected a bigger game from him. He had 4 targets.
2 catches for 15 yards on 4 targets. Yeah,
look, I think at the end of every game, we need to look at the stat sheet and his targets need to be in the like 8, 9, 10 range. It can't be in the 3, 4, 5 range. Now they won this game, but even still, it's you can just see by the distribution here. Kenny Gainwell, 5 targets. Caught all 5. Dallas Goedert, 6 targets. Caught all 6.
Wes Watkins, 3 for 3, 3 for 6.
This is the way Minshew's playing. Is that he's dumping it off?
Interesting. So 3 of Minshew's incompletions were to nobody. They were not. They were like throwaways.
Yep.
So the only person he threw to that he threw an incompletion to was 2 to Devontae Smith. Everybody else he was perfect to.
You're right. That's a good observation. Quez Watkins, he had that one catch on that third down when. Look, I'm not a coach, and Robert Saleh's forgotten more football than I have, and he's had success calling defenses. For the life of me, I've never seen a team.
Oh yeah, you were all over that. You were like, "What are they doing?" It's like a goal line defense.
It's like in Madden when you have like all you know, engage eight, everyone at the line or something, and then you know, all it takes is just to chuck the ball up. Now they had the safety drop. They did the Gannon thing. You know how Gannon's like. I've seen teams disguise.
The
safety had, but like,
but he bails to the other side of the field, and then Quez comes across. And he's
I didn't understand the formation there, and it cost them.
And I thought that was maybe the type of play where, if it was Jalen Hurts, he might have tried to break the pocket instead of waiting a second for Quez to come open.
And he put the ball up. He put air underneath it.
Yeah,
to let Quez get underneath. So
yeah. I don't know. I thought that was.
You seem down on Minshew, or you don't seem to have.
I'm not down on Minshew. I'm just like, I'm not like, what a performance! Like, they played a terrible team. He threw a bunch of screens and a bunch of checkdowns. Like, not that that's bad. Take what the defense gives you, but I was not like, this guy can do something that Jalen Hurts can't. Like, I don't know.
He can complete more passes.
Maybe.
Jalen Hurts' best completion percentage this year was week one against the Falcons, 77%.
Well, I mean, yeah, it's like this is the Steichen offense where you just all you care about is completion percentage.
Yeah, and look, I'm not saying that's all I care about.
I think they would have run for 300 yards in this game if Jalen Hurts was a healthy quarterback.
Maybe, but I don't know if they would have completed 80% of their passes.
Well, yeah, who cares?
Well, I care about incompletions. Incompletions are
– Why? I thought all you cared about was points.
I do, but I think incompletions lead to fewer points because you're going to have more stalled drives. You're going to have more.
Well, yeah, but then maybe they wouldn't have thrown the ball so much, or there wouldn't have been that many incompletions.
I don't think their running game was problematic today.
I don't think it was problematic.
Like, I think, frankly, they were what they would be without Hurts' running. And I think if you just substitute Hurts' running for Gainwell's catching, because they're not having the screen game as effective.
Why not?
When Hurts is out there,
why couldn't they?
For the reason you said, there are times when – I shouldn't even say screen game, dump offs.
Yeah.
When Hurts is tucking the ball away instead of dumping it off. Yeah.
Well, I mean, at the same time, the two-minute drill last week against the Giants, he hit Gainwell for three straight dump offs.
I agree. And he said he should have been doing that.
Okay.
Throughout the game.
I don't know. I just like Gardner Minshew is a good backup quarterback to have.
Sure.
We already exactly. – like we have an answer on Gardner Minshew, I feel like.
Yes, I agree. I'm not saying Minshew's better. I'm just saying Hurts, who said to me that
this is a flex.
He learns from everything. He learns from every situation, learns from every encounter. I think if he's not watching this game and seeing specifically what he can learn from, then it's a lost opportunity. I think he needs to come back after the bye and needs to be a more efficient quarterback because the way he played against the Giants hurt them.
Well, yeah, nobody's arguing that that's not the case. It was the worst game of his career, as you already said.
Yes.
But I also think, like, he's had eight games this year that were more impressive than what Minshew did today. Maybe that's overstating things. I mean, they've only had 12 games. But, yeah. I mean, I would say he has had several more impressive games than Minshew in this game.
Yeah, look, I'd rather have Hurts as
a quarterback
than Minshew.
I'm not disparaging Gardner Minshew.
But look, I give a lot of credit.
I'm just not ready to grow a mustache and say, you know, that's my America quarterback.
I give a lot of credit, though, to Howie Roseman in that, like, going to get Minshew. Because, look, I don't know if they win this game as handily with Flacco out there.
I mean, I agree with that. Yeah. But then do you also take away credit for signing Flacco in the first
okay,
place?
Fair. But he made the trade, right? Like, what Minshew gave you I said during the game, what Minshew gave you today is already better than the expected value of that draft pick.
Totally.
So, yes.
I still find that whole thing very bizarre.
Very.
Like, why was he available for that price?
I don't get it. I don't get it.
It's very weird. And as I said, it's like contrary to like what the supposed value was going to be of the Jalen Hurts pick when they made it. Like, because you've got this backup quarterback and that's so valuable.
Yeah.
And Gardner Minshew goes for a sixth with 2 years of control.
Yeah.
Doesn't make any sense.
Agreed.
Okay.
Real quick, do you want to fill our listeners in on Jeff Stoutland? Because there was a situation there.
Yes. So Jeff Stoutland, we were told early in the game, was not on the sideline. He had some kind of health situation. And then Lane Johnson said that he was rushed to the hospital and underwent some tests and then was given the clean bill of health and returned to the game, returned to the sideline, sort of like a Willis Reed moment for a coach. So without knowing too much about it, and Sirianni didn't go too much into it either, I'm glad that he's okay.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, I just seemed like a pretty scary situation when it happened.
Agreed.
Roy Istvan,
who I think is a New Yorker, or
I think that might be right.
So
you're a big Istvan guy?
Never spoken to him.
Okay.
Would like to have the opportunity to one day.
One day. Yeah. I feel like where there's a will, there's a way. I feel like you might be able to make that happen.
No, we'll see.
Okay.
We'll see.
What's going on this week?
I think it's going to be a quiet week for the Eagles. I think, you know, we'll talk to Sirianni on Monday. And, you know, they're going to try to get healthy. The players are going to be off. And they'll reconvene next week.
What's up for you this week?
Just got a lot going on. And taking care of some stuff away from work for a bit. It's been a long few months here.
That's true. It has been a long slog this late season bye. Okay. So, I mean, do you think that it will be like full-fledged within the city quarterback controversy on fire over these next 2 weeks, or do you think that's overstating it?
I don't think it's going to be full-fledged, but I think there's going to be, yeah, I mean, it's the volume and the heat are going to be higher. I imagine, look, this is great for talk radio, right? These next 2 weeks, they're not going to have to search deep for discussion points. I think callers are going to have opinions on it. And look, I'll say this, like, this is what's great about sports. I haven't been on Twitter that much since the game ended. I see some people being like, oh, Philly again, you know, this is ridiculous. This shouldn't be. I also think this is like what's fun. Like, I think quarterback controversies is part of what's fun about sports.
Yeah. I mean, this is all.
Yeah.
Well, this is like a.
We're like quarterback conversation.
This is a good one, at least. Like, yeah. It's not like you're deciding between two jabrons.
Exactly.
Like, this is a team that
exactly
with 4 games left on their schedule has a chance to make the playoffs.
Yeah, like passionate opinions. I like passionate opinions. I hope we get it.
Okay. All right. Well, we will have a podcast this week with Sheila. I think we're thinking Wednesday during the day at some point. We'll come to you with specifics of that later on. It'll be a one pod week. And I guess that's about it. So, I suppose I should close the show back to this accent and say that we will talk to you on Wednesday for Sheil, wherever he is. I'm sure that he is going to love this part of the episode. For Sheil, for Marissa, for Zach, for Elijah, who I was told was featured in a very lovely portion of the broadcast. I did not get to see it. However, I do look forward to watching that. Shout out to Elijah Rowley for everything that he has done for this organization, for this community, for humanity. Everything about him has been spectacular. So for all of us here at Birds with Friends, and for everybody in my family, I say thanks for listening. And as always, we do very much love you.